The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared to ask him any question." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
About 2 weeks ago, I was, as usual, surfing the web and came across an article which led me to some other articles. This is what happens. With a wonderful headline, "Tech Community Outraged After SQLite Founder Adopts Benedictine Code of Conduct." And I'll read the first paragraph. "The founder of the world's most widely used database engine ignited a firestorm in the tech community after it was revealed that he had posted a code of conduct for users based on the teachings of the Bible and an ancient order of monks founded by Benedict of Nursia." Well, what he had posted was chapter 4 of the Rule of St. Benedict. Those of you who are familiar with the Rule of Benedict will know it as the Tools for Good Works. It's a list of 72 exhortations or commandments, beginning with the two great commandments that we heard in this morning's gospel: love of God and love of neighbor. Commandments which Jesus is quoting from the Torah, from Deuteronomy and Leviticus, as we call them. And the chapter goes on to add most of the Ten Commandments. For example, it continues, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not covet, do not bear false witness." And then continues again with various behaviors and proscriptions. Taken together, these 72 tools of good work constitute a thorough moral examination of Christian living, ranging in content from observable external actions, such as relieving the lot of the poor and clothing the naked and burying the dead, and not being lazy and not giving way to anger, to more interior practices and dispositions, what we might call habits of the heart. Things like "don't nurse a grudge" or "utter only the truth from heart and mouth." "Do not return evil for evil." "Love your enemies." "Do not be a grumbler or detractor." "Hate no one." "Don't be jealous." "Don't be proud or arrogant." "Don't love quarreling." "Don't be addicted to wine." There are even some explicitly religious directives. "Prefer nothing more than the love of Christ." "Love fasting and chastity." "Deny yourself in order to follow Christ." "Keep death daily before your eyes." "Put your hope in God." Well, as you might imagine, this didn't go over big in Silicon Valley. And maybe not with most of us. It's an exhaustive and perhaps exhausting list, and would be frankly impossible, indeed is impossible, were it not for the final 72nd tool of good work. Never despair of God's mercy. Most of these tools are not commandments or laws in our usual sense, enforceable dictums, but only in an extended sense, just as the two great commandments that we heard from Torah and from Jesus, and which begin this list, are not laws or commandments in our usual sense. But they help us better understand the content of those two great commandments. They help us unpack them, so to speak. And indeed, those two commandments are fundamentally and ultimately one. Jesus invites us to acts of love, acts which are both interior and exterior, internal dispositions of the heart and external behaviors. And unless we have both, cultivate both, our loving is incomplete and weak, and so are we. Here in the Order of the Holy Cross, we love to quote a line from our founder's rule: love must act as light must shine and fire must burn. You can buy posters and note cards of this in the bookstore. Love must act as light must shine and fire must burn. This too is not a commandment in the usual sense, a demand or directive. It is rather a description of the very nature of love. It is not the case that we must first get our act together and then be or do something loving. Rather, it is the very nature or essence or character of love to overflow in acts of love. Just as it is the very nature or character of light to shine and the fire to burn. And this was not original with Father Huntington. St. Ignatius Loyola says as much in his Spiritual Exercises when he says, love ought to show itself in deeds over and above words. We say rightly that the Holy Trinity itself naturally overflows in creativity, revealing God and God's self in an abundance and an overflow and an outpouring of love. And what is true of God is true of us, all of us. All of us are lovers, though not all of us love well. St. Augustine says, everybody loves. The question is, what is the object of our love? He continues, in Scripture, we are not urged to stop loving, but instead to choose what we love, to choose carefully and wisely and sweetly, with all our heart and mind and strength. There's a quote going around on the internet and available also in posters and note cards, but not in our store, attributed to Pedro Arrupe, the former Superior General of the Jesuits. In fact, he never said it. But like the so-called prayer of St. Francis, it seems to me at least for the most part true. You may have seen it. It goes, nothing is more practical than finding God, than falling in love in a quite absolute final way. What you are in love with, what seizes your imagination, will affect everything. It will decide It will decide what will get you out of bed in the morning, what you do with your evenings, how you spend your weekends, what you read, whom you know, what breaks your heart, and what amazes you with joy and gratitude. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. The tools of good works are finally a commentary and explication of the two great commandments, which are again indeed only one. They teach us how to love, what love must look like, what shape and texture our loving will have. They offer us some of the signs of love. Yes, let us be careful what we love and how we love, but let us not fail to love and to love as Christians, guarding and guiding both our hearts and our hands. Fall in love, stay in love, and it will decide everything. There's a postscript. SQ Light, the company I mentioned, ultimately had to abandon the Rule of Benedict as their code of conduct. It did not meet industry standards. So they reposted it on their website as their code of ethics, substituting instead the code of conduct from Mozilla of Firefox fame. They note that they and their developers nevertheless pledge to follow the spirit of the Rule of Benedict to the best of their ability and see it as a promise to their clients that this is how we will behave in our community. They add, "We will treat you this way regardless of how you treat us." Not bad, not bad at all. And in 100 years, when Mozilla and even SQ Light are forgotten, folks will still be reading the words of Jesus, and I venture to predict the words of our Holy Father Benedict. We will still need a school of love and a treasury of tools of good work. And we will need to be reminded then, as we need to be reminded today, never despair of God's mercy. And finally, please, if you haven't done so already, please vote on Tuesday.